Hey guys, I am so excited for Ethos Training Systems to be the official sponsor for my podcast, Getting Zen with Gen Z. They are located at 314 West Institute Place, Chicago, and are Chicago's first sustainable strength, conditioning, and mobility group training facility. Their three main focuses are fat loss and conditioning, strength development, and injury prevention and mobility. Be sure to sign up for their new client promo at ethostrainingshy.com and make them your number one for all your training needs. Follow them on Instagram at Ethos Training Shy for awesome tips and updates. Getting Zen with Gen Z. Empowering, motivating, and inspiring you to live your happiest, healthiest life. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Getting Zen with Gen Z. I am so excited for today's guest, Allie Goodman. She is a Chicago-based actress, writer, podcast host of Acting Up with Allie Goodman, wife and mom of two. She has a lot of different roles in her life. And Allie and I met on the Patty Vasquez show when I was on for a Motivational Monday. And her and I connected instantly. And it's funny that we're actually sitting here today because I was just a guest on her podcast, which is going to be airing soon.
Yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But it's so great to just have conversation with her. So welcome, Allie. Yay. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. This is so exciting.
I'm like, this is a back-to-back. I mean, right. We did yours on Friday.
Yeah.
And today is Tuesday.
Yeah.
I'm like, what day is it?
I know, me too. I'm like, I'm so mom brain. I'm like, just tell me where I need to be and when, and yes, I'll be there.
But it's just always so much fun to sit down and chat with you. I'm like, we're just continuing on this podcast conversation of, you know, what we just did.
Totally cool. And I love it.
It was amazing. Yeah. So thank you for making the trek out here today.
Of course.
But, you know, when I met you, we just had this instant connection. Obviously, you living in the same town that I live in. We're both, Highland Parkers. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you are so honest and authentic and real, which I think is one of the most incredible things when you find somebody who's just totally genuine and you can relate to them. But I just loved your story and the fact that, you know, on your podcast, you really open up about being an actress, being a mom, real mom life moments, and being a mom of two, mom to Jackson and Jordan. And Jackson actually is autistic.
Yes.
Correct. So I want to kind of just pick your brain a little bit about everything and how you balance it all and how you're able to juggle your passion and motherhood, you know, your career, podcasting. But I want to start out with a little bit of, tell us your journey and background and how you got into the profession of acting.
Sure. So I actually started way young. So like when I didn't even make decisions for myself, my mom took me to an open call when I was like 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I got picked as one of the people to go be in this modeling, you know, whatever. So this agent picked me and I ended up in their ranks.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I loved it back then. I remember going on auditions. I remember booking, you know, modeling gigs and, you know, I ended up booking a commercial when I was a kid, like lots of different stuff. And I really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just one of those people that never lost that joy for it. So I followed through with it. I would take classes and I was in, you know, traveling shows when I was like a teenager and things like that. And then I went away to an arts high school. Mm-hmm. I left Highland Park.
Yeah.
And went to Michigan. And I was there and I studied basically what you would study as a person in college. I ended up studying as a high schooler, and I got amazing, you know, background and stuff, but they didn't have musical theater there. So I was only doing regular theater. And then I came back to Chicago and thought, okay, I can do all the things. I can, you know, be on camera and I can do commercials and I can do musical theater. I'll start taking voice lessons again and like all these different things. And it became really clear to me that I really needed to kind of hone in and pick a little bit of a focus.
Have a little bit of a niche.
Yeah,
and what you wanted to do.
I'm not much of a dancer. I move well.
Yeah, which is like, I move well. I like that.
Yeah. So as put on my, you know, despite all the many times I took dance class, I mean, it's just funny. But yeah, I'm definitely a mover, which is what we in the industry say. But my on-camera stuff was not as up to par at the time. And theater and I just really meshed well. So I was doing a lot of theater. I was really enjoying it. And I just kind of kept going. I always had an agent for the most part. And then I had a moment where I didn't have an agent for a little bit of time. I went back to school for a certificate program called Act One, which is no longer in Chicago anymore. Mm-hmm. And when I was done there, I thought, you know, I need to get an agent, and I submitted and nobody wanted me. And so I thought, well, I'm not taking no for an answer.
Of course
and
not.
And so I said, fine, I'm going to learn how to do voiceover. And so
that's how that began.
That is how that began. I went and got myself a demo and I submitted and I got picked by one of the top three agencies in the city, which is kind of amazing.
Oh, that's incredible.
So I have representation and I'm still with them and they are amazing. Shout out to Stuart Talent.
Nice.
They are phenomenal. I love my ladies over there, and they believed in me and they, you know, put me on their roster, and I took over a year before I booked a job.
Yes, oh my gosh.
Over a year, and I couldn't believe it. And I was like, they're going to drop me. And they never did. They always believed in me. Mm-hmm. I think I booked my first job. I booked two on the same week. It was just crazy. And so
I think timing is everything though. It's like, you have to be patient. We know that. And
yeah.
Like, you know, of course the fact that they were confident and believed in you and supported you is incredible.
Helpful.
But you know, it's like when it's time. And then of course what, you get two jobs?
I got two jobs on the same week, which was unbelievable. And so that just helped to solidify momentum for me. And so I felt like, okay, this is starting to go. And it's not like it then picked up and I have this momentous thing. It became a steady stream of work. And, you know, different things here and there, a national commercial here, or, you know, a long-term booking here or whatever. And in the meantime, I had joined SAG, and, you know, so I was definitely doing that. And finally I was like, all right, I've got this solidified. Now I need to find my on-camera work. And I did that. Mm-hmm. And so I was doing all of this. And in the meantime, I was getting married and I was, you know, thinking about the possibility of having children, but not really, because we really weren't going to have kids. We were those people where that were like, no, we're never having kids. And then we got married and I was like, are we going to regret? I just wondered if we would regret it. And so I said,
that's a great question to ask.
And that was my question. I was like, are we going to regret this? Should we think about this? Mm-hmm. And so I thought, all right, let's try. We'll try it. We're not going to do anything crazy. We're not going to go get any, you know, extra special whatevers. We're just going to do it the old-fashioned
good old-fashioned try.
And got pregnant after 1 month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So from going to not even thinking you were going to have kids to 1 month of action and boom.
Well, and the funny thing is that all of my previous understanding about, you know, people who get off of the pill and like go through all of this stuff, mm-hmm. it takes them a long time.
It can take time. Usually, I mean, I've always heard like maybe at least like 3 months, you know, where it gets out of your system.
Right. Yeah. And I was a little bit older and I thought, okay, you know, we may never make this. My mom, it took 7 years before she got pregnant with my brother. And and then another 4 for me. So I thought, this may not work out. Oh, and I only have 1 ovary. So I thought, we're even like on top of all of this.
You're like, there's no way. This isn't going to happen fast, if anything, you know?
And boom. So somehow we are the right match.
Right. There you go.
Our bodies like each other. And there you go.
So that's a good thing.
So yeah, it's a very good thing. And so then I was pregnant and I thought, oh, all of my fears hit me right at that point. I thought, how am I going to handle this? How am I going to juggle this?
Right.
Going back to your original question,
yes.
How am I going to juggle this? How am I going to balance all this? My acting career was kind of in a good place. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to rock the boat. You know, I didn't know if my on-camera agent was going to drop me. I had just gotten with a print agent. Like, I had all these different things that were on fire, and then all of a sudden I'm pregnant. Because I thought, I have a good year before I was not to worry about this.
Right.
Oh, no. No.
Right away.
Science is lovely. So I had to deal with that, mm-hmm. and that was a lot. And so the balance started in that that's when it first started, because all of my anxiety and all of my fears really came to fruition because I thought, am I even going to be able to, you know, all the things that you have as a mother anyway, am I going to be a good mother? Can I handle this? All of that. And I was so certain that I wasn't going to leave my career. I did not want to be one of those people that was, and I'd seen it happen, and there's no shade about this at all. But so many people that all they wanted to be were parents or a mother or whatever. And mm-hmm. so once that happened, they were like, well, I'm going to be stay at home and I'm going to not do anything else. And this is what I want to do. And I'm a Pinterest mom and I make all the things and I am not that mom. And so
I love that you bring that up, because yeah. that's something I want to touch on. And we kind of touched on it a little bit when you and I were talking in your podcast. But I think, and there's no, everybody has a different goal.
Yes.
And, you know, and I always thought, which I've kind of come to terms, I don't think motherhood is something that, you know, I'm need to have.
Yes.
I feel like I'm very nurturing to a lot of the people in my life. But, you know, I always kind of thought the same way, where it was like, my career is so important and fulfilling to me that, you know, no matter what, I would make it work. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to still have that as a huge part of my life. So kudos to you for, you know, that's something that's important, but I can also understand the fears where, especially as an actress, and if you're doing on camera stuff, like your body's going to be changing.
Absolutely.
You know, so on top of all the regular fears, you know, that's something that kind of, you know, came into play.
Definitely. And when Jackson was born, right before he was born, my husband got laid off. And so we were really wow. in a financial situation where we were mm-hmm. like, so we had very little money coming in. We were trying very desperately to, we have this new baby and we have to figure this out. And it was a lot. It was a lot going on and there was a lot to juggle. Funny story though, I think it was the week I came home with Jackson, because I was in the hospital for 4 days because he was an emergency C-section.
Okay.
When we came home, that week, I had an audition for voiceover, mm-hmm. and I remember doing the audition in the same room. Both John and Jackson were fast asleep, and I kept thinking, please, nobody snore.
And if you make a sound.
Literally, it's not going to work. And I do the audition in a room mm-hmm. like this, and I send it off to my agent thinking, okay, and I'm exhausted because, hello, it's a newborn, a week and a half old or whatever, and I booked that job.
How incredible is that? Look at that.
How crazy
man.
Is that, right? So
that's determination.
Yeah. So I like drag my poor body like to the studio and do the job.
You do what you've got to do, you know?
Well, we needed the money for sure. And,
well, yeah.
You know, and on top of it, it was like, it's a job. I'm not going to say no. So it was an interesting moment. But that was a real, I'm a mom and I can still do this thing. You know, just, whew, yeah, that was a lot. But, that again, you know, you sort of make it work. And it's funny because I'm a pretty good Tetris and puzzle player. Like, I'm really good at, I'm a great parallel parker.
I love that. Yeah.
Spatial relate. Like, mm-hmm. and I feel like I do that with my life. I fit a lot of my life in the nooks and crannies, and that is how I balance, I guess. But one of my favorite people is Shonda Rhimes, and she has a book called The Year of Yes. And her book, she talks about motherhood, and she talks about everybody asks her, you know, how do you do it, Shonda? You know, you can do, you know, you got three shows that are on, you know, Thursday nights and this, that, and the other, and you're still a mom to three kids, and how do you make it work? And she said she finally got real, and she was like, you know, I'm not really, because if I'm making it work in one area, I'm sort of not making it work in another area, because mm-hmm. I can't be in two places
right,
at once.
Exactly.
So if I'm here with you mm-hmm. and I'm, you know, doing this amazing podcast, which I'm loving doing with you, my baby is not with me. My baby is, you know, maybe he's about to take his first few steps with his grandma and not with me, you
right.
know, and that's hard because it's like, well, where is my focus supposed to be? Where am I supposed to be putting that? And I know you and I have talked about, like, how do I give myself the self-care and get to do the things that are important to me and not feel like I'm ignoring my kids or not giving them what they need too, because we're taught from such a young age that we are these nurturing, giving, healing humans that have to give all of ourselves to our kids.
Yes.
And we do and are, but I still want my boys to see me as somebody who is standing up for herself and doing what she needs to do to be a an entrepreneur and all the stuff that I want to do with my life, and mm-hmm. acting is an entrepreneurship. It just is, because you are your own business. So I want them to see that I'm pursuing the things that I want to pursue, because I want them to want to do the same.
But that's amazing. Just leading by example. And listen, there's no right answer. Everybody's life is going to look different,
right.
and what their goals are, as we touched on before. But I mean, that's the thing. You may be sacrificing little pieces of your day, to be able to do what you love. And that's the thing, it doesn't mean that you don't want to be there with your kids and, you don't have enough love for them, but it doesn't have to be all or nothing. I feel like it's so important, I think, to us to be able to live out what makes us happy,
yes.
and achieve those other goals. And, you're going to end up balancing things. I mean, I love that, analogy to the Tetris, like making, Tetris out of your life. But we have talked about this. You definitely need to kind of look at your schedule and fit things into the nooks and crannies and organize your time to be like, okay, I have 5 minutes here. I need some self-care, because you are juggling so much. You do need to take that 5 minutes for yourself to be able to be the best mom you can be, the best actress you can be, the best entrepreneur, and we have to be good and strong and confident for those people in our lives that we have to take care of.
So true.
But that is, it's a beautiful thing. And something I wanted to talk about, which we can touch on now, because I think it's a good time.
Yeah.
But you had mentioned when we were talking on Friday that people with your kind of segueing into your podcast, where you talk about acting,
mm-hmm.
but you also talk about real mom life moments and, spread awareness to autism and all of that amazing stuff. But people question sometimes why you still talk about the acting piece. And to me, I was kind of taken aback with that, because mm-hmm. I'm like, why wouldn't you?
Right.
That is a huge part of who you are and your life. And that's your passion.
Right.
So it's kind of like, why would you be forced to give up your passion or not talk about it? And I don't want to say this just because you're a mom, but that shouldn't necessarily take, above all, meaning, the importance and nothing else matters.
Right. I agree. And I think what's happened is that when you're a mom, especially a mom with a kid with special needs, mm-hmm. a kid on the spectrum, and so much of your life is consumed by that. In his case, he's in therapy and he's going from one place to the other. And I'm literally leaving here to run, pick up the little one, and then take the little one with me to go pick up the big one. And then
of course,
we all go,
yeah.
There's it. That's my life. Mm-hmm. It's basically, like you said, it's juggling plates and hoping that they don't fall.
Yeah.
But that piece of it, people start to think, well, aren't you overwhelmed? And don't you want to just let that go? Because they don't understand that when it's something that is a part of you, is something you mm-hmm. can't let go of, that's something
right.
that is, that you wake up in the morning and that's what excites you.
Mm-hmm.
I always talk about acting as my first baby. And
yeah.
it really is. I am an actor. I have always been an actor. I am also a mother, but I am an actor, and that is not going away, and it's never going to leave. Even if I have to take a hiatus for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
I'm never leaving it.
You'll always come back.
I'm a creative person. I'm a creative. So that piece of it, that part is, I can't divorce it. And when I thought about, because somebody had mentioned, well, maybe it's going to get confusing because here you're talking a little bit about acting, but then you're really talking about your son with autism. And, do you feel like, you're going to confuse your audience? And I said, I don't care.
I love that response.
I don't care, because
that's who you are.
That's
your life.
And I don't think that it matters that I, even in this branding world, and I'm doing
yes.
that with air quotes or scare
yep.
quotes, that I don't care, because I am, like you said, a whole person. There's so much about me. Like, there's so much about you and so much about everybody that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it more interesting to know that I'm more than just the mom of a child with special needs? Like, isn't it more interesting to know that I have something that I'm using also to keep myself happy, or use, you know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
Isn't it more interesting?
I mean, I think that, first of all, it makes you, everyone's so unique and individual. So it's like learning all these things about you. It's amazing for your audience, I would think, just being like, oh my God, she does that too. It's not like it's one more thing. It's something that's about you
yes.
that makes you who you are.
Mm.
But that's acting. That's your self-care. Having
yes.
a passion is self-care.
Yes.
You know, so it's not necessarily like, oh, I have to take, you know, the 5 minutes to meditate, as we've talked about doing. You know, I gave you and your audience some pro tips and things like that. But having something you're passionate about and a hobby is self-care for you. I just think mentally, physically, no matter what it is, spiritually, it just puts you in such a better place. But I, you know, it doesn't matter, like, as far as, you know, the branding and it, you want to be more unique. Yeah. Because, you know, everyone is so different. And I think exposing that, people are able to relate to you more. Like, oh my gosh, here's, you know, a mom of two, you know, one of her sons, yes, he's on the spectrum. She's also an actress. She's made, you know, she's living the hustle and making everything work and balancing. And she does get overwhelmed at times, or she get, you know, and that's the thing that I think is so authentic about you too, is on your Instagram, also doing like real mom moments and videos, just letting people into your world. But you are so real.
Thank you.
About life. And I think people need to hear that, because a lot of times it is, you know, like on rose colored glasses with social media and everything. And it's life is not perfect. No. It's not meant to be perfect, but having someone who can be vulnerable and share, you know, those imperfections and what life can really be like, I think, you know, people really respect that.
I so appreciate you saying that, because that piece was the most important to me. I mean, that's kind of why I named it Allie Real to Real, because it's like, it's about being real. It's real talk. It's real life. It is messy. I mean, I don't clean up before I shoot my videos, you know?
Right. No, you're very, I mean, it's, this is the mom moment happening right now. It doesn't matter how I look at this time.
Exactly.
It's just, this is it.
This is it. This is what's happening. Yep. And again, I'm glad that it speaks to you, and I'm hoping that it speaks to others, because to me, that's what I needed. So much of why I even started the podcast, and you and I've talked about this, is that I got this diagnosis with my son, and I thought, I need somebody that gets it, that has been there and has walked in these shoes to some degree, even though all the shoes look different, but at least has walked on that path, and that can kind of just be there with me, like be that friend
right,
who gets it. And everybody came with great, you know, resources, and this doctor and this person and this idea and this website and this autism organization and whatever, and all that was lovely and great. But that's so overwhelming. And when you start looking at all that stuff, your head starts to spin. Oh, listen to this book, read this thing, listen to this podcast. I couldn't do it all.
Especially dealing with your emotions too, of just,
yes, I mean, you're just
realizing
so
this is life. Yeah.
Right? So all I wanted was someone who would just sit down with me, and even somebody who I didn't have to talk to. I know this sounds crazy. I almost didn't want to talk to anybody. I just wanted somebody who was like me, that I could just sort of listen, like watch a video or listen to them tell me, here's what we're going through. Here's our situation right now. Here's the challenge we're dealing with. Here's a challenge we've had and how we overcame it. Or even here's how a challenge we're in right now and what we're doing about it, or how we're navigating it today. And I wanted that real person that could tell me that. And I couldn't find that. And so I thought, well, I need to, once I was out of that crisis, I wanted to build that for somebody else, because kids are getting diagnosed all the time, and parents are just
overwhelmed.
You know, overwhelmed. They're just like, I feel like they're just like want to throw up their hands and just like cry. And then, I mean, you do. I mean, you do cry.
Of course. I mean, you have to go through those. We know you got to honor your emotions.
Yeah.
But you wanted to be that person for so many others.
Yeah. And I just wanted to like link arms with them and be like, I got you. You know,
that's why I love you.
Oh, see, that's why I love you too.
You know, I mean, helping other, that's the main mission in common. And it's like, if it's one person, 1,000 people, you know, having someone you can connect to on that level and someone that understands what you're going through, it makes a huge impact. You can have so many resources, you know, like you said, of course, those things are great. You need them.
Yes.
But knowing that there's someone else going through the same thing you are, that is priceless.
Yes. You know. It makes a big difference, I think.
Absolutely.
You know, and how you can navigate it. And it was funny, because I get lots of messages from people, or it started this way, asking me like, hey, I you're so open about this. We're not open about it yet. We haven't told anybody, but you're so open about it. Can you offer this, that, or the other? Do you have any advice? Do you have this? And of course, I give that freely without any question, but that's what actually started me going, well, maybe that's what I should start putting these episodes in about. These are the questions I'm getting.
Right.
I had a lot of the same questions. Some of them, you know, are questions I didn't even think about, but I, you know, I did my research, or I talked to people, or I've somehow cobbled together an answer, or we're still searching for an answer, or we're not even at that point yet. Like, there's all these different things. So it's an interesting dynamic. And also this idea that there's so much shame around it. And I wanted to kill that from the start. That is the one thing that John, my husband, and I were on board at from the get-go, because we walked into that doctor's office and we both sat down and I said, no matter what he tells us, we are going public about it, because I don't ever want our son to think that we are ashamed of any diagnosis that he gets, or that we're afraid, or that he should be afraid, because he's going to take that cue from us.
Right.
You know? And so it was really important to me. And so literally then that we got the diagnosis, and the very next day we went, I think we went on Facebook Live. Like, that's how super we were out there, and we were clear and told the whole story, and we, you know, told everybody what was going on. I mean, we had a flood of, you know, support and all that, was great. But
of course,
it was really more important that I was like, I'm not playing some close to the vest kind of vague booking anything. Everybody needs to know, and then I don't have to retell this story again.
Well, right, and that's a good point, you know, to talk about it over and over, but on your own terms, to kind of share and have the courage to just put it out there, because, you know, that can be scary, and sometimes people don't understand, and there can be judgment, and it's like, no, there should not be any shame around that topic at all, you know, and just being so transparent and putting that out there for people. It's like, okay, here it is. And you know what? There's a lot of people that are going through this similar situation, and getting feedback from people, I think, for you for the podcast too, is, you know, you had certain questions, but people might have others, and to be that voice for them, I think is great, to talk about topics that people are struggling with.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think that's just, you're like becoming that resource, you know, to be able to put that stuff out there and talk about it, because not everybody is as comfortable as you may be.
Exactly. And that was the other thing. I thought, well, a podcast is so great because we're so overwhelmed and we have so much to do. This is an easy way for you to consume the information, hear that there's something going on. You don't have to do anything. The thing about the research part is, it's like you have to actually go and do it. And then you click on this website, and then you got to go here, and you got, there's so much. It's mental.
It's a lot of work.
It's energy.
Yeah.
And I thought, how do I impart this information without making it harder on anyone else? I want this to be easy for, we need it as easy as possible.
Definitely.
Us moms and dads, like, we just do. So I thought, this is how I'm going to do it. This is how I'm going to give you, it's free. You can freely stream this. Right. There's no cost.
And you can get it anywhere podcasts are available.
Literally. I mean, I did that on purpose because I thought, I don't want anyone to have any reason why they can't access it.
Yeah.
That was the most important thing to me. And I want it to be simple. Listen to it in your car. Listen to it in your bed. I don't care. Just get it into your system so that you then don't. And then you can take it further and go research further if you want.
Right.
But get the information first so that you don't feel alone and you know that you're not alone.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you have a great voice of support too. So I think it's, you know, I mean, doing voiceovers, I'm sure that really helps, but like, your voice is just very kind and genuine, you know, so people, I think, can just feel super comfortable listening to you.
Thank you.
And kind of
I
have that connection.
That. Yeah.
But so how many episodes have you had now?
I think we're on 14.
Wow.
Yeah. I think you were number 14.
Okay. I love that.
I think so.
Look at that. Yeah. And this is, I mean, you obviously absolutely love it.
I do. I 100%, not to like whatever, but I didn't even know anything about podcasts a couple of years ago, and my husband was listening to them, and I am like, what's a podcast?
We're both on the same page.
I'm like, I'm in the voiceover industry. I had no idea what a podcast was. And he was like, no, it's like a good thing. I'm like, okay, so you're basically, I thought it was like listening to AM radio, but like now through a streaming app. And he was like, no, it's like, he like, you know, explain it. So we started a podcast, my husband and I. And so we have a podcast that's like on movies of the 80s that we watched as kids.
That's amazing.
And we show each other the movies that we missed, that were the gaps in our world.
Uh-huh.
And then every fifth episode, it's either one that neither of us have seen or one that we both have seen. And then we podcast about it. And it's really, and he's a very funny guy. And so, you know, he kind of, you know, runs it, and it's definitely explicit. So, you know, it's not for kids.
It's a little, a little different. What is that one called?
A Match Made in Space.
Oh my God.
It's an inside 80s joke, because that's the name of the book that George McFly, when he wrote his book.
Oh my God.
From Back to the Future.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So we named it that, and it's just fun. So that's just our really, and we do it. we were doing it very regularly. And then it got sporadic when things just got a little overwhelming in the house. And, you know, with a new baby, it's a little harder, but that one. And then a spinoff of that is another podcast we started, which is called A Hard Grey's Night, which is essentially I forced him to watch every episode of Grey's Anatomy.
That's amazing.
And so we go back, and then he is the most reluctant watcher of every episode of Grey's Anatomy, and then we talk about each episode. So
yeah, I mean, that's hilarious. Yeah. And that's something, you know, that's something else just to mention, you know, about your podcast is that you bring, you know, yes, there can be serious moments and topics, obviously, but you just bring so much humor, I think, to it. Which is so important. Like, you know, we can be serious about things at times, but like, you need to be able to laugh about stuff.
Like, let me tell you, that was the most important piece to me. There is so much serious stuff that goes on around, especially surrounding autism and especially surrounding kids mm-hmm. and autism. It's a very serious topic. It's a very frustrating topic. If you're breaking apart things like not getting enough money from insurance and this, that, and the other, all these problems that can arise, it is a very depressing and frustrating and sad. And I mean, like, just all in those dark, dark, dark places. And mm-hmm. everywhere you go, even the memes that you see are very much like, we're going to uplift because we are so dark and sad. And I thought, that's important. And that's, mm-hmm. that has a place. And man, there are times when I really need that. But 9 times out of 10, I need the humor because it is the only way that I'm going to get through. Yeah. I mean, I got to find the funny in some of the things that my son does, because if I don't, then I'm going to go crazy. Right. And man, it's funny when he does stuff like pick up his shirt in the middle of the grocery store and go, no beads, no beads. Because my husband once said to him, buddy, we're not in Mardi Gras. You're getting no
Stop
beads.
Stop it.
I swear.
Oh my gosh.
So, I mean, that's hilarious. Like, I have to be able to laugh at that.
Of course.
I mean,
I'm
not laughing at him. I'm laughing at the
No, because it's funny. I mean, it doesn't matter if anyone did. I mean, it's funny.
It's hilarious.
It's real life
it's
humor.
Real life. And again, motherhood is hard.
Yeah.
Parenthood is hard. It's, I like to say it's like 100 pounds harder when you have a kid with special needs, but that doesn't take away the funny moments that we need to like talk about and experience. And yeah, we have to have that, or I think we'll all go nuts.
Right, totally. I'm with you. I mean, I think, you know, you have to find the humor in things. Yeah. Just to keep things light, keep going. And, you know, it's an emotion. It's an outlet. You have to have it.
Yes.
You know, it just makes things a little bit easier. It takes the edge off a bit. So now then you had Jordan.
Yes.
How many years later? What's the age difference?
Right. So Jackson will be 7 in November and Jordan will be 1 year in May.
Wow.
So I know. So there's a 6.5 years difference.
Yeah.
Ish. Yeah.
So how did that change? How did life change now having 2 children?
So really quick, my weird pregnancy like saga, had Jackson, was like, yay, we have a baby, we're good. And I had this like little inkling, like, well, maybe we'll have 2. I have a brother, you know, maybe, you know, a sibling is good, whatever. Didn't even think it was going to happen anytime soon. And then boom, accidental pregnancy when Jackson was 8 months old. And I was like, oh my gosh, okay, this is happening a lot faster than we thought. Jackson had not been diagnosed at this point. We, you know, he was 8 months, so mm-hmm. we had no idea. And so I thought, okay, all right, we're going to do this. We got this. And then that pregnancy didn't end up happening. We had to have a medical termination for that mm-hmm. baby, which was really gut-wrenching and awful. And I probably was in grieving for about a year for that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, when they have situations like that, they want to get pregnant right away, almost before their due date, because they want to kind of, you know, I need to have something. And I was the opposite. I was like, nope, got to get through that due date, got to get past that, got to mm-hmm. make that its own experience. And then I can look at possibly doing this again, which is what we did. So we got through the due date and then waited a few more months and then decided to start again. Great. Took a few months, got pregnant, all was good. And then I had a missed miscarriage, which if you don't know what that is, the medical journals or, you know, whatever, definitely written by a man, actually calls it a missed abortion. It's a terrible term. And so what it basically means, and so now what they say is called it's a missed miscarriage. And mm-hmm. it's when your body, when the baby has passed away, uh-huh. but your body hasn't done anything about it. And so it takes, so you don't know. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. I went in for a check, like a regular, at the, I think it was a 12 weeks or 11 weeks or whatever. Uh-huh. And I went in and they're like, there is no heartbeat. Yeah. So it's heartbreaking because you think, oh my gosh. So then you, because it had, they assumed it had been a couple of weeks for us. They said, you know, we can kind of wait and do this naturally, but I'm going to tell you that's probably not the best move. So the next, I think that day I was scheduled to go in and yeah. you know, have it taken care of. But it was, it's just, it's gut wrenching. Like there's no, I mean, that was awful, awful, awful. And I thought, we're done. I'm never doing this again. I'm not having another baby. This is it. I'm supposed to only have Jackson and we're happy. We're good. We're good. Mm-hmm. And I did. I went on with my life and everything was fine. And then, this is gonna, I know where this is going. I actually had a friend who was leaving Chicago and she did a seminar at SAG-AFTRA and she was a copywriter and she was leaving. And one of the, and in her seminar, she was like, one of the things I do is a lot of energy work. And she was kind of telling us about it and what she does. And she's like, I'm leaving soon. So if you want to book a time with me, do it fast. And I was like, I want to book a time with her. Like, yeah. I don't know why I like felt compelled to do it, but I did.
Well, you did.
And so I went to her house and she did this energy work. She didn't call it Reiki, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was. And she did this amazing energy.
Yeah, from the experience and what you've explained I would say.
Yeah, it was definitely. So when we were done, she said, okay, so I cleared away the two babies that are no longer there. And I did this. And I'd never told her that I had, you know, we weren't that close. I mean, like we were, you know, work colleagues more than anything. She didn't know. And I'm like.
And all of a sudden she's saying all this
stuff. She's saying all this stuff. And I was like, what? How did she know that I had a miscarriage? How did she know that I didn't have those babies? How did she? And she said two, like she knew.
Right.
And I was like, that's okay. And I'm not a very spiritually, like, you know, hippy dippy woo woo person. So I'm very pragmatic. So hearing that was really, really scary. And I was like, maybe she combed through my Facebook. I'm like, she doesn't have time to do that. What am I thinking? Like, that's not happening.
And I will tell you, as a Reiki practitioner, you do not like that. No.
Why
no,
would you do that?
I, like, can I take extra time trying to research everybody?
Why would you do that? Right. So no. I was like, that's not happening. I mean, I knew, but like, and then we just talked for a few minutes and she's like, you're going to feel different today. Drink a lot of water. Like that was like what she left me with. And I was like, okay. And she's like, you know, and I felt so clear and on high and like just happy and good and confident. It was just the most amazing experience. And I remember standing in my shower and I thought, I don't feel that pang and that heaviness about thinking about having another baby. Like I don't feel that when I always would feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden I was like, no, I think I want this. Like, I really think I want it. I had not told my husband. And so I sat him down and I said, I have something really weird to tell you. And he's like, okay.
Like, oh boy. Okay.
And I think it was very quick. It was within a first, when we finally attempted, because we went and did a lot of testing and stuff, so wanted to double check that having two issues and whatever and all that stuff with the babies,
but everything was okay. That, yeah.
Did all that. And yeah, it was A-okay. So I am one of those moms over 40. Who had a baby over 40, and I'm very proud of it.
I was
42 when my baby was born, and and he's a love. Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh, they're both so cute.
Thank you.
Just seeing your pictures. I love it.
Such good boys, yeah.
I love it.
They really are.
But I mean, and we kind of talked about this too on your podcast, but just kind of grieving through and feeling emotions. You have to go through that. And when the timing happens, you know, you got to kind of follow your gut and know, you know, follow the instinct of what you want and how you want to move on. And you felt that it was that time and you were ready. And this kind of, you know, weight had been lifted a little bit, that emotional kind of baggage that I think you were carrying.
Oh, yes.
You know, for quite a while it was like, okay, I've, you know, you're never going to forget. You know, that's something that I think people kind of get concerned with, like, well, if I move on, and it's like, no, that piece is still, it's still a part of you in your journey.
Yes.
But it's okay to honor it and, you know, move forward.
It's okay to not have to have that pain constantly, like poking at you.
Exactly.
You know? And I definitely didn't realize it was.
Yeah.
But it was dragging me down pretty hard. And so I'm so happy that it was gone.
Right.
Just gone. And, but like they weren't gone. Like I still think about them, but not in that same painful, heavy way. So it's different. Yeah, it's so different. And I love that. It just shifted.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Oh, well, thank you for sharing that. Oh, that's, you know, I mean, I, like I said, you know, Allie is just so honest about everything. but that it, you know, it's great for people to hear that and be able to relate, you know.
Well, and it's such a stigma topic still. People don't talk about miscarriages. People don't talk about terminated pregnancies from medical issues. Like they don't talk about these things because there's so much
people
shame
really
around
don't.
It. No.
I know.
And then you hear like, oh, it's so normal. One in every three women or whatever.
But then why is no one talking about it?
Well, I think part of it is there's so much pain surrounding it.
Right. The emotional piece.
I think that's part of it. And I think the other piece is sometimes you don't want to say it. There's a superstition piece to it. And thirdly, when you have kids, it's like, well, just be grateful you now have your children. Or, you know, there's like that piece to it. And there was a lot of that that came up. It's like, well, you have Jackson, so just be happy you have him. And there was a lot of that guilt and that piece about it because there's a lot of people who strive for long, you know, and never have kids and go through all of that. So you never want to just sort of talk about it and bring that up. I think there's a lot of those pieces around it.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, once you're over it and that, because a lot of people have what they call the rainbow baby. That's what Jordan is.
Okay.
Technically, he's a double rainbow baby, whatever, because I had two and then had him. So, you think, okay, I have him now. I don't have to worry about that. That was in the past. But if you don't deal with it and you don't, you know,
it's still a part, like you said, it's still a part of who you are in your journey and it got you to this place. And
part of my quilt, man.
Right,
you know, I mean,
exactly.
Like those babies are always going to be part of my quilt.
Right.
So I do. I believe that it doesn't do anyone any good to not talk about these things.
No, I'm with you.
I mean, I'm 100%. All shine a light, just click the flashlight and just put it out there. You know,
exactly.
There's no reason not to. I mean,
no,
people
for sure.
need to hear and talk about these things.
Yeah,
and know they're not alone.
I think that's the biggest thing. Just having someone to talk to and someone to listen and just communicate and be honest with how you're feeling. That's a really difficult thing for people to grasp and deal with, you know, especially, I mean, a lot of cultures and society, it's like, you don't talk about that, you know, or you don't talk about certain issues or things going on and, you know, family or whatever circumstances are, but it's, you know, if it's a therapist, if it's a friend, if it's a trusted source, you know, whoever it is, I think just being able to open up and talk. And like I, you know, I'm a big promoter of journaling and just getting your thoughts down because you need to let those emotions go at some point. You need to deal with them and honor them and be aware because when we leave everything kind of bottled inside, that's when, you know, these issues can happen and you're going to explode.
It's one of my favorite terms. Somebody once said that when you push all that emotion in, kind of like you said, the explosion thing, it all comes out sideways. And I love that like term, the idea that your emotions are coming out in the wrong way.
Right.
So
for
that
sure.
you then.
Absolutely.
They,
I love that.
Yeah. Isn't that such a beautiful way of thinking of it?
It is.
I'm like, oh, it's so perfect.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because then you don't have control. You know, you can kind of, you know, control how you can process and deal with them, you know, in maybe a little bit more of a healthy manner than when you don't.
Right.
And then you don't know where or how they're going to come out.
Right. It's your pressure cooker and it just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Totally.
So how has your acting career kind of evolved now being the mom of two? That's the question.
That is the question. It's been actually interestingly difficult. And I hate to be honest about that because I want to come in and be like, oh, it's been amazing. No, it's not. It's been very difficult because
but
I'm,
that's why I love
you. I mean,
you.
Like, hello, I now have two schedules other than my own to worry about and have to navigate and make sure that there's coverage and somebody to watch and all that stuff. The one really positive thing that's happened is that I actually now have a new on-camera agent. I'm really excited about her. Shout out to Casey at DDO.
Nice. Love it.
Love her. But, and, you know, she fully believes in me and she's a mom as well, which helps, I think, too. And she gets it. And, but she's been sending me there's a lot of self-tape going on right now. So self-tape is stuff that where you literally, like, similar to how I would do auditions at home for voiceover, I do them now on camera.
Okay.
And I have a setup in my basement that's specifically with a wall and the whole thing and the lights and everything specifically for self-tapes.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
So I can do those at 10 o'clock at night when the kids are sleeping and I don't have to worry about, you know, getting into the city and making sure I get there. And not that I don't want to do that. Okay, hello. I don't not want to do that. I do want to still do
like,
that.
You're like, wait a minute. I still,
listen,
yes,
listen,
anyone
universe,
listening, I want to do that.
Universe, casting people, anyone who's listening, I definitely still want to come in. But I'm saying that when it's something like that, it gives me that, still gives me the opportunity to play in the field and and still get my stuff in and feel good about my work.
Yeah.
So the nice thing is that I've been, that was not happening before. So mm-hmm. now that that's getting to happen, and I set myself up for success because we cleaned up the basement at one point and I told my husband, I said, we're painting this wall.
Nice.
We had just painted the baby's room. I'm like, we're taking that paint, we're painting this wall, and we're going to set up my lights and we're going to just leave it there. And that is going to be the wall that we do self-tapes on for now until we move out of this house. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I'm in. So we did. And so, and I did that before I had the new agent. It was almost like I knew.
Kinda, yeah.
I had that goal in mind and I was like, it's going to happen because I'm going to have to start doing this.
Right.
And so we did and we set it up. I mean, I was pregnant at the time. I didn't care. I was like, this is going to happen. I think also right now I'm hitting an age that is putting me into a different category. So I think there's an element of, I haven't quite grown into my age yet. I always come across a lot younger mm-hmm. than I actually am, but my face belies that, even though my energy seems younger. So I have sort of a Lauren Graham thing going on where it's like, she's definitely older, but she has this youthful energy. And yes. So I have to find the right where they're going to like fit me right. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so
for sure.
So because of that branding, I don't know if, and I hate to say it like that, but it's how it works when you do headshots as a brand and all that stuff. I have to get new shots and I need to get myself re-brought into this part of who I am mm-hmm. now because I'm not in my 20s to 30s.
Right.
I'm in my 30s branding-wise.
Yes.
So I'm not getting the 25-year-old, certainly not going to get that. But I'm also a mom, but even though I have a 7-year-old, I don't know that I'm going to get cast as somebody who looks like they have somebody that's much older than 4 right now. Like 4 is probably right. The highest that I'm getting, yet I'm still getting called in for stuff. But you pit me against somebody who actually looks that age, and they're like, she looks like she'd be their older sister. And that's the comments that
right,
I'm
so
getting.
It's a little tricky. Yeah.
I'm having a tricky, but I always have. I've always been weirdly not my age. Mm-hmm. I was 28 playing a 14-year-old. So like this is not uncommon. It's just finding the right fit, which is why voiceover is so great because nobody
well, that's,
knows.
I mean, it's your voice. Yeah, yeah, right. Exactly.
Nobody knows.
Exactly. So that's it's super interesting. Mm-hmm. I never really kind of thought about it from that perspective because you do look super young.
Thank you.
I mean, and your energy is very, you know, is very young. But yeah, that's got to be a little bit, you have to have a strategy with that.
You do. And luckily, I have a great team that uh-huh. are willing to go that distance with me. So we're just trying to figure it all out right now. We're just right. working on it together. And they're not, you know, unhappy with what I've been putting out or any of that. So at some point, once things calm down a little bit, maybe it would be good if the baby hits 1.
And then, there you go.
You know, after he's a year old, there's all these other things too. Like I'm still pumping and all this stuff. So once like some of the things will kind of go away. I know it sounds really dumb, but it's like the pack and play. When that's gone out of my living room, like the clutter feels like it gets
better.
Yes. Those are like weird little things that can actually eat up your energy in the day.
Right. And they make a huge difference.
They really do. And so I feel like I see it on the horizon. It's coming. It's coming. Things are going to get, and the summer's coming, which is amazing. I think all of those pieces in the next couple of months, I think things are going to really start to feel back to my mm-hmm. normal because right now I feel like I'm all over the place.
But how amazing though, you can be so creative and modify. Like that's the thing. Kudos to you. Like you're still making all of this happen as best as you can. It's modified, you know, it might not be 100% all in, you know, going down to the city every day and going on auditions, you right. know, but you're getting creative and you're able to do these things at home. You can do them at night when the kids are in bed. Just these little strategies. It's like you make it work.
Thank you.
You know, because it's important to you.
Yes.
So that's sure what you're going to do.
That's right.
You know, and just having that ability. I mean, technology is an amazing thing, but you know, yeah, it can be frustrating at times. But I mean, it is convenient for you to be able to do this. And I mean, you podcast out of your house.
I do.
You have the equipment. I mean, so it's just, you are able to work on your career, you know, in such a creative way and on your own terms.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
I mean, I think that's what it is. When you get a little, you know, you get creative, you can make anything happen.
So true.
I'm a big believer in that.
I fully agree.
And that's why I just love how you do talk about all of that and, you know, address it just with people. Like I said, it's just, you're so real and authentic. Mm. And I really think that's amazing. You inspire a lot of people. So
Thank you.
Of
thank
course. You. So, you. I love you.
You're amazing. I feel like we're hand cutting in the air.
Like, I love you so much. But that's what we have to do. You know what? And just being able to, you know, one of the biggest things, you know, I'm all about, you know, women empowering other women. And it's like, we're all on the same, you know, mission here and we want to help others. You don't have to, you know, have this competitive streak. You know, it's nice for some things, but not, you know, it's like helping each other. You can get so much more accomplished.
Oh, there's enough for everyone.
Exactly. And everybody is so unique.
Yes.
And has their own story.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We don't have to fight with each other.
No.
To get there. No. I mean, my whole business with acting, we're all competing, but we all do better when we actually support each other.
Yeah.
Like, we're excited to see our friends book the job that maybe we were both up for, because we know right. that the next one's ours.
Yeah, totally. Exactly. And I love, we had talked about a while ago too, I think, just the difference with the Chicago scene versus yes. like LA and New York. Like, it's a little bit more like everybody's kind of got each other's back.
Yes.
In a sense.
Yes.
In that industry, you know, more so. So I think that's just awesome.
It makes me so happy when I see my friends in the waiting room, because I'm like, great. Yeah. First of all, I got to see you.
Right.
Second of all, how cool is it that we're all here?
Yeah.
And then we all go to the callback and it's like, yay, one of us is going to book it.
I mean, that's awesome.
That's one of my favorite things to see, is like, I know that somebody I love who deserves it is going to book this.
Yeah.
I'd rather that than them like fly somebody out from New York.
For sure. Absolutely. It's just such a community thing, like yeah. support. That's so incredible.
Yeah.
So tell us, where can people find your podcast?
So you can find my podcast at actinguppodcast.com. That's a Podbean site, and it'll take you right there. You can also find it on Apple. It's not iTunes. It's like Apple Podcasts is what it's called.
Is
now.
It? Okay. Yeah. I still say iTunes.
I do too. I do too. It's terrible. And Spotify and Google Play and Stitcher. So
okay.
I'm really where any of your podcasts play. You can find it.
Awesome. Yeah. And your Instagram, which people need to follow.
Oh, well, thank you. It's Allie Real to Real. And that, I'll spell it for you just because it's Allie is in and of itself many, many ways you could spell it. It's A-L-I and then it's Real R-E-A-L. T-O-R-E-E-L. So Allie Real to Real. It's a little play.
I love it.
Pun on worms. Well,
so creative. That's amazing. Creative.
So there's that. And then that's also my Facebook. You can find me at awesome. Allie Real to Real there too.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming
you.
In today. I feel like we have many things we can talk about. So maybe there'll be some future episodes back
know,
and forth.
Right?
And I'll be sure to share the episode, of course, when ours comes out
yes.
for yours, you know, and vice versa.
Absolutely.
Totally. Yeah. So, and you guys know any topics or guests that you want to hear me have on my show, go ahead and send me a Facebook message at my Gen Z page, or you can send it on my Instagram at JZ Beauty and the Beast. And I always appreciate any 5-star reviews you can give. It definitely helps put the podcast up there. And, you know, without your support, I could not continue doing this. So I appreciate all of you and love you all. I will talk to you next week. Thanks. Bye.